provide some security for all of us. I mean, that's really the American dream. You know, you work hard, but you don't have to go alone when you get in some tough times when you retire or when you get sick. So that's all the president's talking about.
Yeah, now, go ahead.
You know, the other point, though, too, is I'm focusing on creating jobs through manufacturing, which is what Michigan did. I mean, we built the arsenal of democracy. We created the jobs of the automobile industry. And now the president realizes Michigan can help create those new manufacturing jobs that can help us sell products worldwide. But there's another area to help make our families more financially secure, and that's reducing their debt. So the president did underscore the need to somehow cap the increase on interest on student loans. We want our workers to get the training and education that they need, but they shouldn't get into excessive debt doing so. Now, I will soon introduce a comprehensive bill that responsibly reduces student loan payments on the majority of Americans that are borrowing student loans now to help complement the direction that the president's going in.
Well, you know, it's interesting because as we take a look at what needs to be done, we juxtapose that against what is being done. I go back to the Affordable Health Care Act and how critical it is for families today. And, you know, we are now already beginning to see the early signs of how critical it is. Yet your colleague Michelle Bachmann keeps on saying that the vast majority of Americans don't want the Affordable Health Care Act. Is that true? Do you hear from constituents that say it's, you know, what people consider Obamacare is wrong for this country?
No, but here's the issue, though. It's all this political spin and misinformation. When people put it out there so many times, then the public gets confused. But here's one thing really clear. Nobody wants to go broke because they're sick, and that's what happened in the past. And that's why we had to have comprehensive reform. So we're providing people with a chance to get health insurance because few people can pay for out-of-pocket expenses when they get really sick. I mean, the major cause of bankruptcy in this country was because of health care costs. So this is not only a health issue, which is very important, it's also an issue of keeping our families financially secure so they don't have to risk going bankrupt just because somebody in the family gets sick.
As we only have a few minutes left, so Congressman Nancy Clark, let me ask you this question. Taking in what was, again, I think an amazing address to the country last night, showed leadership, showed vision, showed strength. What do you take out of it that you think is most important, or what should we take out of it that you believe is most important in last night's address?
The president's speech was a victory for Metro Detroit and for Michigan because they realized the value of our skills that we have in manufacturing the best products that we sold worldwide. The president and the country now understands that in order for us to grow these jobs, create these jobs, it's through the manufacturing skill that we have in Michigan, and we know this the best. So that strengthens my hand in making the case for more federal investment in Michigan, and that's what I'm doing today.
You know, I got to tell you, Congressman Hanson Clark, a year ago, had you told me that we would be talking about the revitalization of manufacturing, I would have thought we were crazy, but here we are doing exactly that. How exciting is that?
It's really exciting. Because one of my missions when I first got to Congress was to change the image of Metro Detroit from that of a charity case that needs help to a region that can create jobs not only for Southeast Michigan, but for the country.
I'm just so excited by what I heard last night. And, you know, and I've got to wonder, you know, you are part of that experience. I realize that your colleagues on the other side of the aisle sat on their hands quite a bit, especially as it talked when the president was talking about job creation, about tax policy. You know, he's saying, put the bill in front of me, I'll sign it tomorrow. You know, is it hard for you the day after this morning to go, okay, you know, we've got, you know, the American people are going to be excited. I'm going to guess the president's numbers this morning are skyrocketing in a positive direction. Is it hard to know that you still have to deal with those on the other side of the aisle?
No, you know why? Because some of the Republicans, they understand that we got to support manufacturing, that we can't keep our people in debt, borrowing all this money to get an education, that we have to also stabilize home values, and that this foreclosure crisis has hurt everyone. It's robbed people of their investment in their home, even if they were paying for their mortgage, because those foreclosed homes down the block have dropped down the property values for everyone. So they understand we have these needs. Sometimes politically they may not want to recognize it, but I know in their hearts they realize the president's speaking the truth, and we've got to do something. Because look at Congress's reputation right now. The public is really fed up with us arguing and bickering. So the president threw it out there very clearly. Look, Congress, here are a couple of areas that we can work with together immediately to help create jobs and to give people financial security. So let's go do it. So for me, as a congressman from Metro Detroit, it's given me more power and more leverage right now to ask for the investment that will create more jobs for Michigan.
Well, I like your attitude, Congressman Hanscom. I truly do like your attitude. And of course, you know, none of us want to wait until after the election to start to moving some of these important initiatives. And I know that's not what you want either. The smart thing, of course, for the country is to start moving forward. We have to take a realistic look at what's happening, as we have been, that the president was so bold and daring last night in telling the Republicans, listen, I'm doing this with or without you. It's nice to know that he's got you on his team. Congressman, again, I want to thank you for your time this morning. Have a great day. We'll look forward to visiting with you again very soon.
Thanks a lot, Tony. And we can renew America by rebuilding Metro Detroit.
Absolutely. It would be a great start and certainly would be the poster child, if you will, for regrowth and just an amazing, amazing opportunity. Let's take a quick break here. Brian in Shelby Township, I'll take your call right after we take this quick break. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Cuneo on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got an accident out there in Harrison Township, 94 westbound after M59. It's on the left shoulder, causing some minor delays. 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. You'll find some delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 29. Then tomorrow, some rain moves in, mostly cloudy, a high near 42. Right now, it's overcast and 30 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Thanks for punching in this morning. We are going to go to the phones. Would love your thoughts on the State of the Union last night. I dug it a big deal. It was awesome. 888-552-3595. Brian in Shelby Township joins us now. Brian, thanks for holding. What's on your mind today?
Oh, Tony, great show. Yeah, I was watching it with a group of fellow Obama campaign supporters, and I thought it was a great speech, but I was a little bit disappointed that he didn't talk more about the Affordable Care Act, perhaps give examples of people who have benefited from it already. I think the president needs to toot his own horn a little bit more about it, especially with the impending Supreme Court decision coming up a little later this year regarding the act.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, you know, the speech was an hour and 5 minutes, I believe. And, you know, Brian, at some level, you know, you run into a timing issue. You know, what would you have taken out? I mean, I understand, you know, maybe there were things, like you said, that you would have liked to have heard. But, well, you know, what do you take out then? And I would imagine when they put that speech together, they fight with each other tooth and nail to figure out what gets in and what doesn't get in. And I don't envy them that. I'll tell you that that's got to be a very difficult thing to decide.
Oh yeah, being a speechwriter these days, you know, maybe he'll talk more about it when he comes to Michigan a little later this week. But hopefully he'll get a chance to, you know, bring up more examples of people who, you know, had pre-existing conditions, or, you know, people who are insured now that weren't before, and that type of thing. But, yeah, I think people need to be more aware of that.
Certainly. And Brian, I want to thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. I think you're right. Certainly, you know, again, there's that fine line between tooting your own horn a little too much to make it, you know, a little too grand, at the same time in self-serving, which we don't want to do. And at the same time, making sure that we get policy initiatives out there, which he did. I do find it interesting some of the negatives that the president received was for lack of initiatives, which is just ridiculous because there were plenty. I mean, just plenty of them. So I don't get it. 888-552-3595. Again, would love your thoughts on the speech as we have time this morning, and we do have time this morning. Mike in Westland joins us now. Mike, I appreciate you picking up the phone. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, Tony, I watched his speech last night as well, and I would just comment, the reason why he didn't talk about Obamacare is that it's so unpopular with the majority of the people.
You know, let me just stop and ask you about that for a moment, because I asked Congressman Hanson Clark about that just a few minutes ago. You say that people are unhappy with Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. Mike, I'm not hearing that from people. So where do you hear that? I'm just asking you, Mike.
I'm hearing it from my family members, many of whom are in the union movement, that are union members themselves. I hear it from everybody.
But what are they against? I don't understand what people are against.
I want to answer your question, Tony. I hear it from my union members, family members that say that they don't want to have to be forced off to their existing plan that they're well satisfied with, and they don't want a government-run plan when they feel that they can do a better job.
But Mike, they don't have to go off the plan they're on, and it's not a government-run program. It's a privately-run program, so that's the part I don't get. Is it just misinformation?
They've explained to me that it presently, but they've cost, just since Obamacare has been instituted, you've seen that the average cost of medical care went from $13,000 a year to $15,000 a year, and they're doing that on purpose because eventually nobody will be able to afford from their employer to be offered a private plan, and you know that, and that's part of the deal. But what I wanted to talk about, Hanson Clark, one thing that I thought the president said that I think would really help Michigan, he talked about reducing regulation, and Tony, you're a big labor guy, so you can fact check me, you know, I was right about Chile on the...
No, you were not right about Chile, and I'm not going to give that to you. Mike, I'm not going to give it to you. You were wrong about Chile, but go ahead.
I was not wrong. But, Tony, here's the thing. You talk to your labor guys about getting jobs in Michigan. We have had two coal plants and a nuclear plant denied because of EPA regulation. Talk to your labor...
Not true. Not true. Oh, my God, Mike, that's not true.
Absolute.
All right, Mike. All right, we're done, Jeff. We're done. He keeps talking over me. Just not true. Just not true. They weren't built because they weren't needed. That's why they weren't built. Mike, I don't need to fact check you. I read the paper. This was an article in the freaking paper, dude. Come on. Let's just be honest about this. Oh, sweet Jesus. I try to be nice to this guy. I truly do. I don't know what I do to deserve this. I really don't know. All right, we got time. Let's listen to a little more of the State of the State address last night. The president, an attempt at a joke. I don't know, some people are saying that he should stick to the more serious stuff. Other people enjoyed it. This is what the quote-unquote joke of the night was last night.
I've ordered every federal agency to eliminate rules that don't make sense. We've already announced over 500 reforms, and just a fraction of them will save business and citizens more than $10 billion over the next 5 years. We got rid of one rule from 40 years ago that could have forced some dairy farmers to spend $10,000 a year proving that they could contain a spill because milk was somehow classified as an oil. And with a rule like that, I guess it was worth crying over spilled milk. I'm confident a farmer can contain a milk spill without a federal agency looking over his shoulder.
All right, and so there you go. Listen, all things considered. All right, maybe not the funniest joke in the world. Let's get another call.
Which one do you like better, the spilled milk joke or the toilet joke that Governor Snyder
Probably
told?
The outhouse joke better, that the seat needed to be down. That's probably a better joke. I don't know. You know, maybe they shouldn't take their political opportunities and waste it on
really
badly done jokes.
So weird to me to see that the similarities. They're both commenting on bad policies that are in place, and they make a joke. I mean, like, isn't that just a coincidence?
Apparently it is. Let's go to the phones and welcome Craig and Dearborn before we got to get out of here for the bottom of the hour. Craig, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, I'm just calling basically in response to the prior caller on Obamacare. I am in the union. I'm not sure if that guy was. And I haven't heard any complaints from the union brothers and sisters about Obamacare. And actually, in my case, I got to put two adult children back on medical coverage, and one definitely needed care and could not get it, could not afford it. And I thank President Obama for doing that, not just for me, but for millions of Americans.
Yeah, you're not alone. I mean, you're not alone in my family as well. Similar situation. Listen, if people have a problem with the Affordable Health Care Act, Craig, I'm more than happy to listen to it. I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, I just think it's just a right-wing meme. And actually, on the blogs, on your show and other shows, I think the paid right-wing trolls are working overtime lately.
You got it, Craig. Thanks so much for your call. We got to take a break. When we continue, Cindy Roper with Clean Water Action will be our guest. Stay right where you're at. We've got plenty to get to on the other side of this. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Emergency crews are out there on that accident, 94 westbound after M59. They're blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up about a mile behind that. 94 eastbound and westbound right around the lodge. You're going to find some minor delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high in the mid to upper 30s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 29. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain, a high in the lower 40s. Right now, it's overcast and 30 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Even as they face looming recall elections, Wisconsin Republicans are moving this week to rush passage of a mining bill that weakens environmental regulations and does the bidding of big mining companies. Democratic critics of the mining legislation say it endangers Wisconsin's natural resources by weakening environmental regulations, limits financial responsibility of the mining companies for damaging the environment, and rushes the state's Department of Natural Resources mining permit process. Wisconsin Democratic State Representative Louis Milepski.
We think that the bill also is not addressing significant water quality concerns of the communities. It's not addressing the startup costs for local communities and also the long-term remediation process.
Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Mike Tate says Governor Scott Walker's dirty millions are pouring in from out of state in an effort to save the governor's political hide in his coming recall election.
Since Scott Walker launched his assault on Wisconsin workers to give massive handouts to out-of-state corporations, our research shows that he has raised an astounding $5.75 million from out-of-state contributors. What I think this speaks to is what Scott Walker's vision for Wisconsin is. And it's the vision of these corporate overlords who view Wisconsin as a place that should be a plantation state of large corporations where low-wage, low-skilled, low-benefit workers have no rights and where the apparatus of the government is taking out of their hands and putting to the service of their masters.
Florida has moved a step closer to privatizing prisons in the southern tip of the state. Jesse Russell reports.
The privatization bill was passed out of the Senate committee on Monday in spite of public comment that weighed heavily against it due to employment and public safety concerns. Lieutenant Mike Riley told the committee that a 2005 study shows private prisons overcharged the state of Florida $13 million, with much of that overcharge being for positions that were never filled. Those prisons are understaffed, increasing safety issues for inmates and officers alike.
If we privatize these prisons, it's already projected that they will cut positions in order to save money. It's already been proposed that the training for correctional officers statewide be reduced from 400 hours to 4 weeks.
Riley said it's a fact that correction officers are killed in the line of duty. In the last few years, he had to attend 3 funerals. He had one request of the senators if they pass a privatization bill that further reduces safety at Florida prisons.
If you choose to privatize these facilities, I ask you, the next officer death, please stand next to me at the funeral. Thank you.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, excited to bring you my next guest. We try to do a lot of environmental stuff. I think we're better at it than we were. And, you know, I made a promise at the beginning of the year that we would focus more on environmental issues. My next guest happens to fit that bill. But more importantly, this is kind of a call to action. So let me get to my next guest because I think there's a lot of really find information. We, you know, we think about the state of Michigan, and one of the things that I think automatically we think about is water, as we should. Are we doing enough to protect our water resources, the Great Lakes, and you know, is the legislature stepping up and making sure that this vast resource stays as pristine as possible? My next guest has an opinion on that, I assure you. Joining me now is Cindy Roper. She is the state director for Clean Water Action. They're, of course, located in East Lansing. And they held a press conference yesterday. The Michigan Legislative Scorecard, the midterm scorecard, and I got to tell you, the list of those that are getting thumbs up wasn't as long as I think we'd like it to be. Let's welcome Cindy Roper to First Shift. Cindy, really a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you. And I'm very happy to be here.
You know, let's tell the audience a little bit about Clean Water Action, what that's all about, please.
Sure. Well, Clean Water Action is a citizens group, and we work for clean, safe, and affordable water. We also work to create jobs that are environmentally safe and to ensure that our democracy is working, because we believe, especially with something like environmental protections, that the public has to have a strong voice to ensure that they are safe in their communities and their recreational waterways, et cetera, are safe. So that's a little bit about us. We have over 250,000 Michigan members, and we have offices in East Lansing, Ann Arbor, and in Clinton Township. So many of your listeners may know of us through our professional door-to-door canvas that goes into communities throughout the state, and that is really one of the ways that we are successful in connecting people to their elected officials, and in also being sure that we're listening to and hearing the issues and concerns of people on the ground in these communities throughout the state.
Well, I do think one of the things that makes Clean Water Action unique is that aspect of it, is that you are, in a very positive way, invasive. That you go into the communities, that you listen to people, that you actually try, and at a very real level, to respond and to lobby for the people, which is kind of unusual, Cindy. And so the Clean Water Action is that engaged is I think, a real positive. Well, let's talk for a moment about the midterm legislative scorecard and why you do this. What's the purpose of doing this? Because I don't see you as a negative group. So this isn't just to make people look bad necessarily.
Oh, not at all. In fact, nothing would make me happier than to open up one of these scorecards and see that we have, instead of 13 what we call clean water heroes who voted 100% for the issues that we care about, and 10 who voted 90% of the time, I would like to see 110 on the House side and 38 on the Senate side. There is absolutely no pleasure in naming someone an environmental zero, and we had 58 of those this session, and for the first year of this session. Again, we only scored the House because the Senate has not voted on very many measures yet, and we will come back and pick up the Senate later in this year.
So, you know, again, we're taking a look at, and we'll mention certainly the heroes on the list, and maybe it's just a coincidence, Cindy Roper, but they all happen to be Democrats. Is that a coincidence, or is that pretty deliberate?
Well, it's unfortunate, and I got a call from a Republican lawmaker yesterday who was dismayed that, and this individual was one of the higher scoring Republicans, and he will remain nameless, but, you know, he was really discouraged and, you know, felt like we weren't necessarily giving the Republicans a fair chance. And my response to him and to others is, you know, we have not made this a partisan issue. Keeping our water clean, keeping our communities free of, you know, toxic chemicals, these kinds of things are nonpartisan. They cut across regardless of what your party affiliation is. But unfortunately, we see repeatedly that we have far more Democrats who step up and who take action on behalf of protecting our water and our communities than we have seen on the Republican side. And our opinion is that we should not be lowering our standards of what's considered to be a good environmental voter just to make one party or the other happy. So we try to stay very focused on, you know, the facts of what are the votes that have been taken and what are the implications of those votes to the Great Lakes and to Michigan's other waters as well as to our communities.
Oh, there's no question. Let me just, those that are environmental heroes on the list, many of them actually have been guests on this show. Joan Bauer, Lisa Brown, George Rainey, Jeff Irwin, Ellen Kogan Lipton, David Nathan, John Alumba, David Rutledge, Charles Smiley, John Swatolski, Rashida Tlaib, Jim Townsend, and Jimmy Womack. And Cindy, those that are the environmental heroes, those are those that have voted with you 100% of the time, correct?
That's correct. And unfortunately, something else that we saw with this scorecard, every single vote that our heroes had to take was a vote against a bill that the House majority had brought to the floor. So we have almost, I think, an unprecedented situation that in order for someone to get 100% on the scorecard, they had to vote no every single time.
Wow. You know, you stop, Cindy, and just for a moment imagine that we're talking about what I still consider to be our greatest resource, which is water. And I mean, what is more precious, Cindy, than in the state of Michigan than our water? Why would anybody, you know, and I know that, you know, there's been talk that, you know, we could actually start selling our water to other states. I mean, the idea just I find beyond reproach. But, you know, if you belong to the wrong party, that conversation takes place.
Well, we find it stunning as well. And we also find it sinister because frequently the conversation that takes place, I mean, everybody at campaign time in Michigan, if you're a politician, you know that you have to talk about water, you have to talk about the Great Lakes, and you have to wrap yourself in those, you know, images. But unfortunately, what happens once a lot of lawmakers get to Lansing is that other influences come into play, and they lose track of that. Again, that's why we bring the message back to the community so that regardless of what your political affiliation, you can let your lawmakers know that they need to be doing a better job on behalf of our water and our future, frankly. And the whole idea that some of them are hiding behind the notion that these bills are job creators. And in every instance, we can go through the votes that were taken and just, again, ask the question, where are the jobs? Where are the jobs? And in numerous instances, what they're doing is pushing the public out of the way so that the public has a less of a voice in decisions that are being made, specific permit decisions that are impacting local communities, as well as in things like having more access to information so they can make informed decisions in their communities.
Yeah, it's just never a good idea to put the public out. We've got a call for you, Cindy. Let me just remind everybody, my guest is Cindy Roper. She is the Michigan Director of Clean Water Action in Lansing. And we're going to welcome Brooks and Novi to the show. Brooks, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Do you have a question for Cindy?
Good morning, Tony, and good morning to your guest, Cindy. Cindy, I was wondering if you could articulate what your group's position is on Michigan recreational boating use of our Great Lakes and waterways. And a second question, if you could maybe provide us an example of what your group would consider to be a job that's not environmentally acceptable.
All right. And we've only, Brooks, thank you for the call. We've only got a couple minutes, Cindy, so go ahead if you would, please.
Well, sure. I guess I'm not really sure what the question is around recreational use of the Great Lakes. We think it's very important for people to use and enjoy Michigan's waters, whether they're inland lakes, whether they're rivers, or whether they're the Great Lakes themselves. That is our position. Now, obviously, there are responsible ways to use the waters. Maintaining recreational vehicles being a very important thing so that we don't have, oil and gas leaking into the lakes, that we're not throwing trash off of our boats. But, you know, we generally speaking don't see that as the big issue. In addition, when it comes to invasive species and how boat owners are, you know, managing essentially the ballast water, the water that's taken on by these recreational vehicles. So, again, I'm not sure what the question is, but we think that our lakes should be used and enjoyed and that they are a big part of what this Great Lakes State is all about.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, just responsible use of your equipment. That's basically what you would advocate. And I would think anybody would advocate just for, you know, safe use of your equipment, whether that's a motorboat or whatever it is. Just use it safely and responsibly. And as you said, Cindy, not to be dumping water and oil, gas and oil into the water. I mean, nobody would want that. And of course, if you've got garbage on your recreational vehicle, that it stays in a container and is properly stored when you get onto shore. So that would make sense. With regard to jobs, what do you consider jobs in your area, Cindy?
Absolutely. So a couple of big areas. One is around water infrastructure. Michigan is still having very serious challenges with sewage overflows into the state's waterways. Our infrastructure, our pipes, and the underground plumbing system is in very bad shape, and it's widely known. In fact, I just finished serving on a state advisory committee that was looking at ways that we could, better address these issues, and the governor embraced these recommendations.
That's great. Cindy, I hate to interrupt you. We are out of time. Sure. You know what? You make sure that Nick keeps us on your mailing list. We need to have you back a lot.
Thank you so much.
No, we need to have you back a lot. In fact, I'll send Nick an email after the show today to make sure that we get you back on. We got to take a break. We'll be back. The Occupy Detroit on the other side.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi. I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is Bob Pecano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Pecano has never been one of my top 10, favorite electeds in Michigan. And so I don't wish him ill because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Chip with Tony Trujillo
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting. We're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
the movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And it is that time because it is that time. We do it every day at this time, and no different today. Joining me now from Occupy Detroit is Tristan Taylor. Tristan, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It is truly my pleasure. What are you here to talk to us? I understand Occupy Detroit has a victory that we need to share with this audience.
Yeah, Occupy Detroit voted to support the efforts to, and be a part of the fight to keep the libraries open, along with BAM and the Friends of Monteith and other community groups. And just recently, last Tuesday, after mobilizing people to the Library Commission, the Library Commission voted to open up one of the closed libraries, Monteith, which is on Kercheval on the east side of Detroit, within the next 20 days. They also voted on a resolution that BAM presented demanding that some of the $1 billion surplus that the state has be used to keep all the libraries in Detroit open.
Well, you know, Tristan, that is significant.
Yeah. Now, it goes to show two things. One, you know, that there's power in numbers, and that when the community organize and stand up, that we can win. You know, that we don't have to always be the people who fight the right battles that are destined to lose. No, we actually have power. The people in power aren't the only ones with power, and if we stay determined, you know, it came about because of the daily pickets that were being done in front of the libraries, the mobilizations to the Library Commission, just a dogged determination of people to in Detroit to keep their libraries open. That's how we, you know, scored this victory.
Well, you know, and of course, Tristan, as we talk about libraries, you know, and especially in urban areas, they are critical outposts for the community. They provide a variety of services, and when you close one, you know, there's a deep impact to that neighborhood. And, you know, and I don't think people understand, especially people that don't use a library, they don't understand how critical they are. And when they close these libraries, it deeply affects that community.
Yeah, an example of that is at Lincoln Library. There's a school, Mason Elementary, that's down the street from Lincoln Library, which is on East 7 Mile. Mason Elementary does not have a library inside the building, so they rely on Lincoln for those services. And because Lincoln was closed over the Christmas break, it meant that less than 10% of the students, when they came back to school, had their science projects ready, because no one had access to a computer. And, you know, besides, which is obviously atrocious and egregious. And, you know, on top of that, what would happen is that these libraries, which are now safe havens, would be turned into abandoned houses that can be raided and turned into crack houses. And that means for the neighborhoods that the libraries serve, you know, it makes people staying in that neighborhood being a neighborhood, being a place where people are bonding, you know, that much harder to stay and live in.
Well, you know, we talk about, especially within the Occupy movement, Tristan, we talk about building community. And certainly part of a community, I think that anybody's, you know, you don't have to, you know, dream big. Part of a community is to have a library, a center where people meet, a center of knowledge, a center of a place to share, to meet, to keep warm, for God's sake. And this idea that, you know, libraries have become antiquated or they're no longer needed. Well, that's and we're proving it, especially in an area like this where that's just not true. And I think central to community building is to making sure that we hold pristine this idea that we take care of each other, that we share with each other. And what epitomizes that more than a library, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, what we're trying to make clear is that people come before profits. And so that's why we're really big on making the demand that the $1 billion surplus that's just sitting there, that money has to be used to maintain these libraries. And we really want to start a trend because we see the attacks on Detroit. We see the attacks on, like, working class cities all across, like, the state. And to, you know, be in a position where the state has money that it's just sitting on while cities are, you know, struggling and it can barely survive. You know, homes being evicted while these banks and corporations have billions of dollars in profits. It's just an unattainable situation that we won't stand for. But if we can mobilize ourselves, our strengths are in our numbers. And we're still not, you know, done with this fight around the libraries because they're still proceeding to empty out one of the libraries that they closed, Richard, which is on the west side. And yesterday we were able to have a successful mobilization in the morning that turned around like the cops, Detroit police officers, along with security from the library to stop them from taking things out of the library. And so we're determined to be in front of Richard this morning, tomorrow and Friday, starting at 7 a.m. And we're going to be there for as long as we possibly can to make sure that we stop the eviction of Richard Library.
Well, you know, again, you're right. The fight, and I wasn't aware that Richard was having this issue, but, you know, so one victory and one fight. You know, and we need to continue to fight. Ultimately, that's what the Occupy movement is about, standing up for those who need support. It's about doing the right thing. Again, it's about community building. And we're talking, Tristan, again, about an area of the city that some had abandoned, that some had given up on. And between the Golden Gate Restoration Project and some of the other things that have been going on there, including, you know, keeping this library open and fighting to keep another one open, again, as a shining example of what happens when good-minded people, good-hearted people, come together with the singular goal of making sure that we take care of one another. That's all this is about. It is about the 99% and nothing else. And I think it's a great story.
Yeah, I do too. And so, you know, we're definitely calling for people who want to, you know, defend libraries, to make sure that they're a public right, to come down to Richard.
And where's it located? Real quick, Tristan, because we're just about out of time.
The address is 9876 Grand River. It's on the west side between Grand River and Livernois, off of 96.
Tristan Taylor, you are my hero. Thank you so much for the conversation this morning. We're here to help you fight the fight. Thank you again for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Tristan Taylor, once again, with Occupy Detroit. Stephen Henderson. And Congressman Gary Peters in the next hour. We got a lot going on yet. Let's take a quick break here. Russ coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got some good news. 94 westbound after M59, that accident has cleared. 96 to Jeffries eastbound approaching the Southfield Freeway. You're going to find some slower traffic there. People trying to exit onto that freeway. 275 northbound between 8 Mile and 696. You'll find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain, a high near 42. Right now, it's overcast and 30 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio. I'm Andy Rose. Two hostages who were working as humanitarian workers in Somalia were freed from their hostage takers by Navy SEALs in a nighttime raid. CNN's Chris Lawrence tells us the White House confirms one of the people rescued is an American.
The president released a statement this morning saying that he will not condone or accept the kidnapping and capture of Americans. He went on to say that Jessica Buchanan was selflessly serving her fellow human beings when she was taken hostage by criminals and pirates who show no regard for her health and well-being.
Last night, President Obama delivered his State of the Union address. He says his first priority is getting another extension for the payroll tax cut.
Right now, our most immediate priority is stopping a tax hike on 160 million working Americans while the recovery is still fragile.
Republicans say that has to be paid for with cuts, and Senator Jim DeMint says they don't have much confidence in the president's ability to follow through.
This was sounded like his first speech to the nation. He's trying to run from a record of broken promises, and we're going to have to hold him accountable.
President Obama is now heading out on a three-day tour through five important campaign states. For the first time since 1980, Japan is buying more products from the outside than it's selling to other countries. CNN's Kyung Law says this news is huge.
When you look at this trade deficit, and we want to make sure people understand that this is truly a stunning announcement from this export-driven economy.
It's being blamed in part on the continuing effects of the earthquake and tsunami last year. Actress Demi Moore is getting what her publicist calls professional assistance due to exhaustion. Moore was rushed to the hospital late Monday night. She's in the process of getting a divorce from Ashton Kutcher after 6 years of marriage. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
If your New Year's resolution is to save money, it's the perfect time to start at Sam's Club. Become a member January 25th through the 29th and start your savings with $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings on name brand items. No coupons required. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $2 off Kleenex, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee and more. Save big this week and all year long by joining January 25th through the 29th. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
This morning, Boeing is reporting earnings for the final 3 months of 2012 and handily beat forecast for profit and revenue, but the company is garnering more attention right now for its earnings prediction for this full year. Far more cautious. Boeing stock is slipping in early trades. Also slipping, but yet less, is Yahoo. After the company reported a profit of less than $300 million on weaker-than-expected revenue from search-related advertising, Yahoo's brand-new CEO is pleading with his company to come up with new ideas fast. Or as he said in the conference call, fast, fast, fast. There's a new study restaurant workers might want to show the boss. Treat your employees better and you'll make more money. Research by Cornell University and the Restaurant Opportunity Centers finds that offering employees better pay, benefits, and career mobility costs more short-term, but more than pays off long-term from better productivity, lower employee turnover rates, and more satisfied returning customers. S&P futures down 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Everyone would like to get a few more miles from their gasoline. You'll be happy to know there's a gasoline that can help you do just that. BP Gasoline with Invigorate can help your car get a few more miles per tank when compared to low detergent gas. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help you go a little farther between fill-ups. We're confident you'll find a good use for the extra miles, even if it's just taking the long way home to hear the end of your favorite song on the radio. Fill up today with BP Gasoline with Invigorate.
Take it from Dave Lennox. At the end of the day, it's all about comfort. And the same is true for the middle of the day, the morning, and all night long. A new high-efficiency home comfort system from Lennox will keep your family comfortable 24/7 and reduce your utility bills. Right now, your local Lennox dealer has the system you're looking for. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
Good morning. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. And what an amazing night last night. Again, you know, I've been saying this all morning. If you're a baseball fan, you got a reason to be optimistic. If you're a fan of politics, especially if you're a Democrat, you really got a reason to be optimistic. Last night's State of the Union was amazing, just amazing. In this hour, Stephen Henderson will be with us. We'll join. We'll introduce him in just a moment. At 8:35, Congressman Gary Peters will be joining us as well to give us his. Both of them are actually going to give us their impressions on the president's State of the Union address last night. Certainly, it is what everybody's talking about this morning. It is the buzz for, at least in my opinion, for awfully good reasons. Let's go ahead and get the intro, and then I want to play, after we give our intro of Stephen Henderson, want to play a little bit of the speech, and then we'll bring Stephen on. Go ahead, guys.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal,
the Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
One of the questions that, again, the governor is going to have to face is, can you afford to come in and make police officers and other public safety workers less comfortable than they are? You're especially going to need them to keep the city from completely crumbling while you do this restructuring.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
Teachers matter. So instead of bashing them or defending the status quo, let's offer schools a deal. Give them the resources to keep good teachers on the job and reward the best ones. And in return, grant schools flexibility to teach with creativity and passion, to stop teaching to the test, and to replace teachers who just aren't helping kids learn. That's a bargain worth making. When kids do graduate, the most daunting challenge can be the cost of college. At a time when Americans owe more in tuition debt than credit card debt, this Congress needs to stop the interest rates on student loans from doubling in July. Extend the tuition tax credit we started that saves millions of middle-class families thousands of dollars. And give more young people the chance to earn their way through college by doubling the number of work-study jobs in the next 5 years. Of course, it's not enough for us to increase student aid. We can't just keep subsidizing skyrocketing tuition. We'll run out of money. States also need to do their part by making higher education a higher priority in their budgets. And colleges and universities have to do their part by working to keep costs down. So let me put colleges and universities on notice. If you can't stop tuition from going up, the funding you get from taxpayers will go down. Higher education can't be a luxury. It is an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford.
All right, Stephen Henderson, we welcome you back to First Shift. I love that part of the speech last night, Stephen. Welcome back. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again, Tony.
You know, I just love that part of the speech last night.
Yeah, no, that was a great part. There were a lot of really strong parts of the speech, but you know, you were just talking about reasons to be optimistic. We've got sports reasons to be optimistic around here, but I think a lot of what the president was saying, especially about those topics, and especially the education message that he had, were very optimistic and helped to frame. Help to frame the discussion that I think we're going to have this year in an election year where, you know, as always, we have a choice between one way of seeing and doing things and another. And the president did a very good job last night of framing that, you know, in a positive way, showing where differences exist, but then also showing where he thought opportunities exist to settle those differences without having to settle the big picture things. I mean, there were a lot of smart, very smart strategic lines like that.
Yeah, your overall, if I were to say, you know, hey, as a pundit, your overall impressions of the speech last night, what do you say? How do you respond to that, Stephen?
I think this was an extremely strong speech. And, I mean, I'm a supporter of the president. I think there was a lot in the speech for people who do support the president. But I think even if you don't support this president, you have to admit that there was a lot in the speech last night that was about trying to reach out to that middle, if not all the way across the political spectrum to the other side, to say, you know, it's about progress, and it's about all of us working together and being Americans and trying to figure out solutions to our problems. It's not about scoring points or proving the other side wrong. It's about working problems out. And one of the best ways that they did that last night was in the opening lines of the speech, when the president talked about the self-sacrifice required of people who enter military service in this country, and the fact that they sort of put aside all of the differences that they have, and they wear the uniform, and they do what's necessary because there's something bigger than the individual. There's something that binds all of us together that doesn't have anything to do with whether you're black or white or rich or poor. And then he nicely tied that in to what goes on in Washington and said, imagine what we could accomplish in this country if the same attitude were prevalent among people who enter public service, that it doesn't matter whether I'm a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter whether I am rich or poor. There is work to do. There is an agenda on the table. And we all need to be able to see the aspects of that move us forward and put our differences aside. I thought that was extremely masterful, and it was aimed directly at, I think, those voters who the president's going to need in November if he's going to be reelected, that he's got to show people not only that he's willing to fight for the things that he believes in, but that he's able to recognize that when fighting for what you believe in is counterproductive to the nation's interest, and that as a public servant, you have to prioritize those things in the right way.
You know, Stephen, you know, I thought that this speech, not unlike past speeches, but certainly I think indicative of what we can expect, tone we can expect moving forward. It was very presidential. It was filled with ideas and policy and initiatives. It was the kind of speech that gives us plenty to both talk about and build on, which was, to me, very important. We talked, you know, I talked yesterday about my expectations. They were met and exceeded. They were exceeded because I appreciated the fact that this president talked directly to the opposition party and said, folks, I will do anything you ask me to do that moves this country forward, but sweet God, if you don't, I'm doing this without you.
Right. I mean, he's made that clear, and I'm actually of mixed feelings about that in some regard. I mean, I am not a big fan of what we would have called in Washington the imperial presidency, the idea that the executive branch when it's frustrated politically by one of the other branches, just sort of takes matters into its own hands and does its own thing. I mean, this was one of the major failings, in my view, of the Bush presidency. I mean, the most recent President Bush, who had, I think, an inflated sense of the powers that were delegated to the executive branch, and in fact had to be reined in several times by the Supreme Court for that reason. I worry that has set the stage for some of the same kinds of behavior, of course, in very different ways and for very different reasons, in this administration. And it's actually one of the, I think, more substantive criticisms of this administration is that they've carried too much of that forward. It's mostly in the area of national security, but the president seemed to be hinting last night that he's willing to do it when he sees fit in other areas. And this is a president who's issued a lot of executive orders, essentially going around the Congress when he couldn't get things that he thought were necessary. I think there are times when you got to do that. But it's not something that it's not a foundation you want to build for yourself as the president, I think.
No, and I'll buy that to some extent. I think that, again, especially as I had a chance to read the speech. I like to watch it, and then I like to read it, Stephen, because they are two very different things.
They are very different. That's right.
And so as I read the speech this morning, it really sucked me in. Now, again, you know what? I wear it on my sleeve. I'm a liberal Democrat. I get that. But there was substance there, Stephen. There was something to chew on. There was stuff for me to think about. And I don't think I'm being delusional here.
No, I think there was. And I think they very purposely put things in there, in the speech, specific ideas about how to move forward and not about plowing through sort of old ground about what we disagree about. I mean, several times during the speech, the president either said, look, this is a fundamental philosophical difference that we can't necessarily solve. Or he said, you know, it's an election year and I don't expect that we can do X in this area. But then he always followed those up with, but here's something that's achievable. Here's something that we should both all be able to agree on as progress in this area, and that's what we should focus on.
All right.
Put aside some of the other stuff and get some stuff done.
A quick break here, Stephen Henderson, and we will come back and talk. Michigan was prominent in the State of the Union address. We'll talk about that. A lot more to do. Again, a little later on in this hour, Congressman Gary Peters will be with us as well. It is all about the State of the Union, but right now it's about taking the break. We'll do that. We'll return with Stephen Henderson from the Free Press right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 29. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain, a high in the lower to mid-40s. Right now, it's overcast and 29 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us,
at
Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi. I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Tom Fitzpatrick joins us now.
And dads, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were pushed to the side. They were marginalized. They were judged as, uncaring and incompetent. And they felt unappreciated and not respected and not valued. You know, it's the Homer Simpson syndrome. And at the same time, I've never met a man, Tony, who didn't love his kids passionately and were longing for more connection and really wanting to give the unique gifts that they have to parenting.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
A year ago, Gaddafi was one of the world's longest serving dictators, a murderer with American blood on his hands. Today, he is gone. And in Syria, I have no doubt that the Assad regime will soon discover that the forces of change cannot be reversed, and that human dignity cannot be denied. How this incredible transformation will end remains uncertain. But we have a huge stake in the outcome. And while it's ultimately up to the people of the region to decide their fate, we will advocate for those values that have served our own country so well. We will stand against violence and intimidation. We will stand for the rights and dignity of all human beings, men and women, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. We will support policies that lead to strong and stable democracies and open markets, because tyranny is no match for liberty.
All right, the President Barack Obama, last night's State of the Union. Stephen Henderson, my guest, he's on the line with us. Stephen, you know, certainly from a foreign policy perspective, one of the most successful foreign policy presidents in the history of this country. Amazing what he's done with foreign policy.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is a president who's got a lot of wins in that category, despite that being his weakest area of experience coming into the office. And frequently that happens. Historically, that's the area of the presidency that is least predictable in terms of what the president will face and how they'll react. And he had a lot of early tests that he passed. And then, of course, last year he passed, the biggest possible test for our era, which was to catch and kill Osama bin Laden. And so, I mean, he's riding an enormous win streak in that regard. And so it was smart last night to remind people of that, even as they continue to look domestically, at the economy and our challenges there. He's got one area he can fall back on and say, look, I did this and I did it well, and it's paying dividends for
us. Yeah, and in fact, when he spoke later on in the speech about, the effort – that military effort, how, you know, as a country, we always have each other's back. Did he use that as an example, you know, that when you know that somebody's got your back, you go in with confidence? No, I mean, it was just so masterfully done and delivered. And, you know, Michigan gets three mentions in a State of the Union address. I don't know that a state's ever received such star billing before, Steve.
Yeah, you know, I was not expecting that, at least not with the emphasis that he put on it. I mean, yeah, this is a president that doubled down on the auto industry and its ability to come back early in his presidency, and so I had figured, you know, it's been mentioned, I think, almost every year that he's given the speech, if not every year. But he really went to the well with it last night and expanded it. And I think the reason is that, you know, it's not just the auto industry anymore. Now it's that our strongest area of economic recovery is manufacturing, which goes beyond autos. And autos are of course, the biggest part of that sector of the economy in our country. But manufacturing generally is making a strong comeback. And Michigan is still ground zero for that kind of work. And so playing up what's going on here is, again, smart. It's something he can take a lot of credit for, and something he can point to and say, look, this is what we're trying to do everywhere else. But of course, I think if you're Governor Snyder, that's a good thing to have the president mentioning your state so often during his address. If you're a member of our congressional delegation, of which several of them were pictured at least on CNN, which was the channel I was watching, when he was talking about Michigan, John Dingell got a lot of FaceTime, I remember, last night. Those are great things for a state that's, you know, been down on its knuckles for a good long time and is now just sort of, I think, there's a kind of optimism in Michigan that I hear from people now, from business leaders, from people in government that we're coming back. And I think the president sort of reaffirmed that last night.
Well, yeah, no question. Again, just lots of really great stuff. And
you know, the other interesting thing I thought about the tie to Michigan in the speech was how frequently he sounded themes that we heard last week from Governor Snyder. You know, and you think about, you know, these are two guys who are not in the same party and probably wouldn't agree on an awful lot of things. But it's pretty clear to me after last night that they agree on immigration policy, or at least substantial parts of immigration policy, that they both used sort of funny stories to highlight.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier, but yeah, they did.
Regulation. Yeah, right. I mean, these are not two guys that I think you would put in the same political pod very frequently. I mean, it's not that either of them is an extremist, but I mean, like I said, they sit on different sides of the aisle. But there were a lot of things that in those two speeches that were similar. And if you were on Twitter last night during the speech, you saw the governor tweeting lines out of the president's speech that were similar to the ones that he gave last week. So that's also good for Michigan, I think.
Well, again, we take a look at what happened last night. As a country, we should be pleased. You know, we played some of the opposition stuff. Governor Mitch Daniels, of course, gave the Republican response, and he was, very robotic and dry. And if they were looking for a contrast, they got the contrast, if that was the goal. You know, Stephen, at the end of the day, though, even what the governor said doesn't fact check out properly. And so, you know, we wonder, again, if the Republican game here is to continue to just make the president look bad at all cost, I believe it's beyond beginning to backfire. They're now in the middle of it backfiring. If they're not very careful, that there was a piece on the Hill I read just a day before yesterday, you know, there could be that sweep in the House that you know, 4 or 5 months ago we wouldn't think was possible. The Democrats might actually take the House.
The danger if you're a Republican is that the weakness of the GOP presidential field starts to enable the president to grow serious coattails, right? I think that any reasonable outlook at this point, and it's early and lots of things could change, but a reasonable outlook at this point is that this president is likely to be reelected. And so if you're a Republican, your fear is that, you know, that starts to affect other things, and you're right. I mean, a washout in the House, we've seen it 2 times in the last 3 elections, both once for Democrats, the other for Republicans. It's entirely possible. I thought Governor Daniels, I thought sending Governor Daniels to do the response was an effort by the GOP to sort of bring a grown-up into the conversation on their side. I mean, because they have not really been able to identify that person in their presidential field. I thought, you know, he's an impressive governor. But again, like you said, the message was the same in terms of just sort of an attack on the president. And
Stephen, we're just out of time. This one really flew by this week. But thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
All right. Congressman Gary Peters on the other side. Folks, stay with us. We still have a lot of great radio to do today.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got an accident out there, 96 at Jeffries eastbound at Evergreen. It's on the right shoulder. 2 cars are involved. No major delays. Southbound 75 is slow between 11 Mile down through Kniff. Bob Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the lower 40s, but a 40% chance of rain in there as well. Friday, partly sunny, a high once again near 40. Right now, it's overcast and 29 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was, not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
One of the hidebound myths in our culture is the Horatio Alger fantasy. You might be born poor, bucko, but America's the land of upward mobility. Anyone with grit and gumption can scramble from the very bottom of the economic ladder all the way to the top. At last, though, this musty myth is being dispelled as everyone from academics to Wall Street protesters are proving that it simply isn't true. Even prominent politicos are catching on. As one said last fall, movement up into the middle income is actually greater in Europe than it is in America. That's no liberal talking. It's Rick Santorum. The same guy who now says there are no classes in America was at least visiting reality just a few months ago. While GOP leaders still try to dismiss the issue of income inequality, the mobility issue goes to the very core of America's identity. It's too big to deny or ignore. John Bridgeland, a former Bush aide who now heads a policy group called Opportunity Nation, says bluntly that Republicans, quote, will need to talk about a lack of mobility, a lack of access to the American dream. Many recent studies confirm that our country has developed a class stickiness that is alarmingly dangerous to our social unity. A Pew Research report finds that about 62% of Americans born on the top rungs of the economic ladder stay there as adults, and 65% born on the bottom rungs remain stuck there for life. In a ranking of 9 affluent countries, Canada was tops in upward mobility, and the U.S. was last. This is Jim Hightower saying, America won't offer a true opportunity for upward mobility unless we restore a unity of purpose among all of our people. And we can't achieve that as long as top corporate and governmental leaders deliberately widen the chasm separating the rich from the rest of us. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and we wrap up the guest portion of our show in this segment by bringing on one of my favorite people. Congressman Gary Peters is on the other end of my line. We welcome him back. It's a great day to be a Democrat. It's an even better day to be a Michigan Democrat. And Congressman Peters, certainly the president gave Michigan a lot of love last night. It was nice. You had some Michigan guests with you as well. So it was a great night for you and for the state.
Absolutely, Tony. It was a great night, and as you know, the president started out his State of the Union address highlighting the success of the American auto industry. Of course, he had a very big role in making sure that we continue to have a domestic auto industry in America, but highlighting the success of GM and Chrysler and getting through very tough times and how people came together and the sacrifices of folks at the UAW and other sacrifices that were made. We now have an industry that's growing once again and hiring people once again.
Well, I would think that Congressman Gary Peters, your two guests who were, by the way, the Orion Assembly plant manager, Alicia Bowler-Davis, and UAW Region 1 director, Chuck Hall, had to have been all smiles during the State of the Union last night.
Yeah, so, well, the plant manager was up with Michelle Obama, and then Chuck Hall was with me as well, and they were smiles. And the fact that, as you know, that GM Orion Assembly Plant was a plant that is now making the Chevy Sonic. That was a car that was originally destined to be built in China, and through a lot of efforts of a lot of folks, we worked on that. I worked on that aggressively, as well as folks at UAW and others. That car was brought back from China and is built in Michigan at a profit. It's really a game changer. And the Orion plant that was able to beat out plants in Tennessee and Wisconsin to make it with Michigan workers. So it was part of the auto recovery story, and the Orion plant is an example of what can be done if we work together, and that we can and will bring jobs back from overseas in places like China and make them profitably here in the United States, and I may add very proudly, with union labor as well.
Absolutely. Congressman Gary Peters, what do you take away? If there's one thing you take away from last night's State of the Union address, what would it be?
Well, I think the takeaway, of course, is right from the beginning, we talked about the autos, but he really focused on manufacturing, and that we've got to get back and a focus on manufacturing in this country. Something that I am very passionate about, I know you've talked about many times as well, Tony, is that if you don't actually make something in America, we can't be a great country, and you can't have middle-class wages. You've got to have a strong and vibrant manufacturing sector. Autos is a part of that, but manufacturing is much broader than just autos. So we need a president that will lead the renaissance of manufacturing, making sure that those companies have the resources they need and the incentives to stay here in America. And, you know, I like the fact that he was very, very hard on the trade violations, that he's going to form a task force to go after countries that engage in violations of trade laws like China and others. That we need to have a fair playing field. If we have a fair playing field, American workers can outbuild anybody in the world. But we've got to make sure that playing field's there, and we need to have a president that is willing to have trade enforcements. And as he mentioned in his speech last night, the number of trade enforcements that he has brought against other countries has doubled from the previous Republican administration. He is focused on that, and until we have a fair playing field, manufacturing won't prosper like it should here in the United States.
You know, in fact, Congressman, the president spoke about reforming tax policy to create jobs, spoke eloquently on that, and said that if Congress were to send him that legislation, he would sign it immediately. He talked about education, protecting teachers. You know, here in the state of Michigan, because of Governor Snyder's in the Republican legislature's policies. We had to lay off a lot of teachers here in the state of Michigan. This president would like to see a reversal of that misfortune. We know we need the teachers in the classroom here in the state of Michigan. You take a look at, from a substance standpoint, what this president delivered to the American people last night. I think, you know, we look over the last 20 years, this may be, you know, a top three State of the Union address, Congressman.
Well, it was, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it laid out a blueprint of where we need to go in the future, not just manufacturing, as I mentioned, or the trading that you talked about, education, but also about energy and how we can produce energy in this country. And he just also talked about values of fairness. And, you know, I think the blueprint he laid out really speaks to the vast majority of Americans, middle class folks, working very hard to get by. And they want to make sure that the opportunities are there for their children as well. And President Obama was focused on that. We've got to get back to those core American values that if you work hard, play by the rules, then you can have an opportunity to pursue the American dream. And the deck should not be stacked against you. So he also talked about how we've got to make sure folks like millionaires and billionaires pay their fair share, that programs that are essential for us to make sure that we have the health care that we need, to make sure that we have the education, as you mentioned, keeping teachers in our classroom. And it was very clear that we need to be celebrating our teachers, not demonizing them, as you see with some of our Republican colleagues who do that. But in order to do that, you have to pay for it, and everybody needs to pay their fair share. And when you have millionaires and billionaires that pay a tax rate lower than secretaries that work for them, we can't tolerate that type of system. We need to have fairness in the system. And he certainly made a call for us to fix it, and I believe we have to fix that part of the system.
Now, of course, the president will be here on Thursday evening into Friday at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. We're looking forward. Any idea what he's going to be speaking about while he's in town?
Well, I understand when he is in Ann Arbor, he's going to be talking about college affordability and the ability for workers to get the training and skills that they need to get jobs. So he'll be focusing on that, things like college interest rates. In fact, as you know, with our college loans, we had a five-year bill in place that kept interest rates at 3.4%. Will go up in a few months if we do not act, and that would put a real burden on students that are financing their education and right now have interest rates that work. But those rates are scheduled to go up to 6.8%, which will put an added burden on people trying to get ahead and going to school. So the president will be focused on that, is how do we maintain the affordability of college so that anybody, as long as they're willing to work hard and go to school and work, they should be able to afford it in order to better their life and prepare for their future. So that will be the focus of his talk at the University of Michigan. It will be education.
Oh, that's great. Congressman, as always, you're welcome to join us whenever you'd like. I want to thank you for the generous amount of time you've given us this morning. What an exciting day, again, to be a Democrat, a Michigan Democrat especially. The speech was just so exciting. So filled with real muscle, and it was just great to be on the receiving end of such a gift as it was last night. Appreciate the president's leadership and your leadership as well. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Well, Tony, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to being on with you again soon.
All right, Congressman Gary Peters. Folks, I've got to tell you again, if you go back and you listen to any part of the speech, and I really want you to do that, what I really want you to do is go read it, because it's a very different experience. I mentioned that during my segment with Stephen Henderson. I realize it's long and it takes time, and I know a lot of people don't have time, but, you know, these are one of those things where if you really want to power yourself, and that's not just about making yourself feel good about the country and good about where we're headed, but, you know, that's part of it. Part of it, though, is to really, to read the speech, you really get to experience, because you process it differently, you really get to experience some of the more profound information that's there. By the way, and this should not go unmentioned, Congressman Peters, Congressman Clark will be running against each other this year for Congress. Mary Waters, a former state rep, announced yesterday she is also going to be running in that same congressional district. It's getting a little crowded. It's getting very interesting. We will not be taking a position on who we will support in that primary, but that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough call. Jeff, I don't envy us. I will say that much. I don't envy us because we've got some really great, we've got two great congressmen. We're going to end up only with one of them.
Well, that's the downside of it. The good side of it is that you got so many good choices, you're bound to end up with a really good one in the end.
Well, yes, we will get one. It's just, I consider both these men friends. I consider both of them stellar Congress people. It's hard to give one of them up. But we were losing a congressional seat, which is why this is happening, because of the loss of citizens here in Michigan. We've lost a congressional seat, and if we're not careful and we keep bleeding people, we will lose more. So, man, I made a mess in here this morning, Jeff. What the hell is that all about?
With what?
I just got papers everywhere. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, save all the audio from today that we didn't use, because especially the opposition stuff, I'd like to get to that in the first hour tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have time to do that tomorrow. Do want to remind people that a couple things. One thing, and then we'll wrap it up on the other side of the break. The Sierra Club has their monthly meeting is next Thursday, February 2nd, from 6:30 to 9 at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. Their next series is Canadian Tar Sands, The Tipping Point. Excerpts will be shown from the movie. Panel discussion will follow. And the movie's called Tipping Point. It's narrated by Sigourney Weaver. And so that's next Tuesday, February 2nd, from 6:30 to 9 o'clock at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. Should be a great segment. All right, good stuff. We'll come back. All right, let's take a break, and then I gotta get this cleaned up a little bit. I gotta get organized so I know where we're at, what we got. We got Ken in Detroit. If you want to join us, now's the time to do that. We've got one more segment before we have to take off for the day. 888-552-3595. I am really proud to be an American today. Proud to be a Democrat every day. Wow, what a great the last couple of days have really been strong for the show. I feel very good about what we're doing here. I especially feel good about you, the audience. I truly do. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Tribbiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now, Hanson Clark. If the governor were to call you today and say, hey, Congressman, what is the number one priority I should be focusing on? What would you tell him?
Putting people back to work in this state.
That's the ultimate goal. That's what we need. People are feeling very financially insecure. There are folks who are out of work right now. That's why I flew back to Washington, D.C. before Christmas to make sure that we had some unemployment benefits that are extended.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
We're back, and we still have much to get to, including your calls. So feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Let us welcome Ken in Detroit. Ken, appreciate you punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man?
Good,
bro. I'm down here in Dallas working on a campaign, but I'm still listening to you.
I appreciate that. This is Ken Whitaker, isn't it?
Yep, sure is.
All right. What's up, brother?
But two things. You mentioned Congressman Peters and Congressman Clark. They're both great congressmen. And Mary Waters jumping in, former state rep. But you didn't mention Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence.
You're right, I apologize. Brenda Lawrence announced last week that she was jumping in officially. I apologize for that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to put that out there. But I also wanted to tell you, I'm feeling great about America, too. I feel good to be an American. And I'll tell you why. We got a black president, a white vice president, and an orange Speaker of the House. That's diversity for you, man. That is diversity for you. Only in America would you find that. Well, I just had to call in.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. Thank you, brother. I truly do. Thanks for calling. He's right. We do have a black president, a white vice president, an orange Speaker of the House. I don't know how Boehner does it. I guess that's a tanning bed, I guess. I don't know, unless he's using that spray-on stuff. I don't know if he's that vain. I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know the answer to it, but he's definitely orange, that's for sure. Two quick stories before we get out of here today. One of them Jeff sent me yesterday. The Family Research Council, which is run by Tony Perkins, very, 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 very conservative, right-wing guy, is asking the country to boycott the Girl Scouts and Girl Scout cookies. Because he believes that they have a political agenda, which includes Planned Parenthood and promoting sexual diversity. Now, he literally has nothing to base this on. No proof. But he says clearly they, over the years, they've been, pro-transgendered and, pro-choice and... Frankly, the Girl Scouts don't have an official position on either one of those issues. But why let the facts get in the way of a good boycott, I say. Right? So if you are...
What a terrible boycott.
I'm telling you. I mean, no more Thin Mints for you.
That's where, you lost me right there, because I can't give those up.
You know, is it Girl Scout cookie time of year?
Yeah.
I don't run in those circles, so I don't get Girl Scout cookies because I don't run in the circles, and we don't work in the office where somebody has a Girl Scout, a kid that's a Girl Scout, so we don't, or a Brownie, and so we don't get to interact with the Girl Scouts.
The best is if you have a Kroger nearby or something, and they'll sit outside Kroger.
There you go, set up a table.
That's how they get me. They'll get me every single time, too, because it's like, oh, well, you're here, the boxes are here.
What's your favorite cookie?
Thin Mint. Thin Mint. You nailed it. It was perfect.
What's the one with the coconut? What do they call that one?
Non-Thin Mints.
Non-Thin Mints.
So
for you, there are two cookies, Thin Mints and non-Thin Mints. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, fair enough. At least, you don't keep us guessing. We know where you stand. Yeah, you're right. Outside the grocery store, absolutely. Oh, Michelle Fox Phillips is on with us from Transgender Detroit. Absolutely excellent. Michelle, God bless you. Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Happy New Year, Tony. Yeah, I heard you talking about the Girl Scouts and my good friend Tony Perkins. Yeah, what it is that there's a Girl Scout troop out in Colorado that has accepted a 7-year-old transgender girl, and that's why they're doing it.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's why they're doing it. There's, I think it was a girl in Louisiana or in Kentucky that's got a YouTube video out urging the boycott of Girl Scout cookies.
Well, I'll bet you that they're not even successful in stopping 10 boxes from being sold. Nobody's going to take this seriously, Michelle. No one will.
Of course not. I know that. It's a joke.
It is a joke.
I just had to call in and say that.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. Happy New Year to you. It's great to hear from you. I appreciate you taking the time to call. One more quick story before we get out of here today. And I posted this to the Facebook page yesterday. And Michelle, again, thank you for clarifying that. Jeff, did you have time? Because I know you were up against the clock yesterday. Did you have time and go read that the whole exchange between the mayor of Troy, Janice Daniels, and the city manager?
Oh, no, I've saved that for today. After I did read the comments people were leaving and how embarrassing it was.
All right. Well, the city manager's name is John. I'm gonna guess the name is Zerlag. It's S-Z-E-R-L-A-G, so I think it's Zerlag, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm close. He, just so people understand, Mayor Janice Daniels read a letter at a recent city council meeting to, quote-unquote, correct and to lay down the law, if you will, on where she stood on a variety of issues. She was so factually wrong about what she wrote, and she wanted to read it so it was on the record, Jeff, that the city manager felt that his reputation was at stake and the reputation of the city, that he felt compelled to write her a letter and address and correct all of the factually incorrect things that were in her letter. It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing what this woman has done to the city of Troy. Now, all due respect to all parties involved, I want to thank John Zerlag. We should try to see if we can get him on the show, Jeff. I want to thank him for taking the time to enumerate all of the factually incorrect things that Mayor Daniels had put in her letter and read into the record during the city council meeting. I want to thank him because Troy is an important city to Southeast Michigan. We can ill afford for them to suffer any kind of regression as a result of Mayor Daniels, who is doing her best job to make Troy look inept. Sadly, that's true. And it's obvious because we have now been able to, on at least three major occasions, share with you what she's done wrong. If you get a chance, go to the Facebook page, First Shift Facebook page, find the stuff I had posted yesterday, read it all, and be amazed. There is no defense of what this woman, Janice Daniels, is doing to the city of Troy. God bless you people. I really feel for you. All right, we need to take a break. We need to get out of here. It's that time of day. All right, a great morning. It just went by really fast. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything. Audience, you just guys are awesome. Thanks for the emails. I'm going to respond to some of these after the show today, so don't worry about it. I'll get to that. Yeah, we got the 21-hour break. Thank you, Jeff. We do have a 21-hour break, so we're going to take it now. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, 96 to Jeffries eastbound at Evergreen. Have an accident there on the right shoulder. No real delays around it, though. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 29. Then Thursday, mostly cloudy, a high near 42. Plus a chance of rain in there as well. Right now it's overcast and 29 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Have a great day, everybody.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk.